Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms 127. We're going to be all over the place this morning. In the book of Psalms 127, I'm going to read the whole psalm. Concentrating on that first verse. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As heirs are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." You know, we're looking at this thing of being at war, and we are at war. One good thing I see about this chapter in the Bible, we see right there God is telling us not only do we need to understand that we cannot fight this battle. Because look at the very first verse. It said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." You can sit there and be sitting there and see what's going on around. Hey, we see things going on around us, don't we? I mean, we see some terrible things happening to our nation, do we not? Hey, and we're watching, we're trying to, you know, be aware of these things that's going on. Hey, but except the Lord do something about it, ain't nothing going to happen. We do not have the power to change these things. We don't have the power to control governments. That's not given to us. We're to be in obedience to governments. The Bible says that the governor, man, he don't carry that sword in vain. God put him in that position. You say, but they're wicked. God's chose wicked people many a time. One of God's number one servants, remember this, is the devil. He's God's left hand, and he don't carry that sword in vain. God, hey, if you don't believe it, what Paul say? He said, Paul said, I delivered, and he named two people, he said, I delivered them unto Satan. He didn't say he delivered them unto God. He delivered them to Satan that they should learn not to blaspheme. You know? So, I mean, we got to understand, hey, that this battle that we're involved in, and we are in the war, but it's God's fight. And we cannot win this fight. We cannot win the battle. You cannot look to your own strength. You can't look to the strength of this church or the strength of our pastor, no matter how good he is. Hey, it's got to be God. And that's the reason why we need to get up. Hey, when we wake up early, if we do rise early, like he said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. What's he saying there? Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Just realize you're in God. This is all in God's hands, and we got to trust in the Lord. We got a. Do we pray? Yeah. Do we put on our weapons and go forth to battle? Yes. But like David told old Goliath, he said, "No, hey, this ain't my battle. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. And he shall deliver thee into my hands." Hey, he didn't say I was going to take. He was going to take him out. I always thought it was interesting. He hit him in the front of the head, but he didn't fall backwards, did he? Fell forwards. I think about the moment that rock hit him right there, God come from behind and went, "Pow!" I mean, I don't know now. I'm just. He could have been running downhill when he hit him, and it just, you know, fell forward. But I'm just simply saying that's kind of the way I like to look at it, you know. I think God took him out. He said the battle was the Lord's. And I'm going to tell you something. In this battle, we got to understand we do not have the strength and the power. And the only thing that will give a church courage, the only thing that can give a church boldness, the only thing that will give a church power to make a difference in its community is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's got to be lifted up, magnified, praised, and given, as his brother said, thanksgiving for what he's already done for us. And we're going to see that in some of these verses here. Hey, the weapons that God has given us, they're not carnal. So, hey, we cannot win these battles of ourselves. Because, hey, I'm in a body of flesh. But praise God, I'm also in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can do mighty things. I don't know, I'm sure some of you labor with this some from time to time, but I was thinking yesterday, and I was wrestling and praying about it. And I said, oh God, I said, you know, I do not know. I said, I start off my day, I try to yield myself to you, and boy, it seemed like before I even got started good, I'm going down the road and somebody pulls out in front of me, and man, my old flesh steps up. Huh? You know, and well, you got to start all over again. You got to start all over again. Paul said, you got to crucify yourself daily. And I can't remember who it was right now. The old preacher, he said, boy, he said, I nail that old carcass up there on that cross, you know. He said, by lunchtime, he's going to wiggle down off the cross. And you got to nail him back again, you know. That's old Lester Roloff. That's who said that. And then that's the way it is. Hey, you cannot... We cannot do this on our own. We must have the Lord. Now, we're in the battle. We're in a war. The Bible, I think we've looked at enough scriptures. We understand that we are in a war. And you must know that you're in this war. You must understand that the battle is against you. You need to know your enemies. Hey, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I'm going to tell you, what gives me the worst problem is the flesh, because this is what the devil can use that flesh. It's right that you got to drag it around with you, you know. You can try to hide from the world, you know what I'm saying? You can go into a little hole and cut the television off, but you know the problem is you carry it right in there with you when you carry that old flesh. You know? I remember one time reading about a monk, and he just wanted to get away from this wicked world and get away, you know, and get away from all this stuff until he could be close to God. And he crawls up into, you know, some monastery. Not only did he go into the monastery, he went into, the deepest parts of it to get away even from the other monks, and went into a hermitage. And you know what he found when he got there? He took it with him. He took it right there with him. And he found more conflict all by himself than he did when he was out in the world. You get alone with yourself. Boy, you know? And man, the old devil he'll start, hey, I asked y'all this week, I said, I've been asking y'all to pray for me. Let me tell you a little bit about my week. Let me tell you a little bit about this week. Wednesday, I'm at work, you know. I mean, man, we're getting pushed. They're just, bam, like this, just cracking the whip on us. Watching over. Now, I'm working, you know, I'm working hard trying to get things done fast. I hurt my hand or injured my hand. I said, oh, my goodness. So, next day, I ended up going to the doctor about it. That was on Wednesday. Thursday, I go to... Tuesday it happened. Wednesday I go to the doctor and get this. They diagnose it and put me a splint on it and all that. Well, that night then, Wednesday night, my air conditioner gets knocked out. Oh, man, this is a good week not having no air conditioning, right? And then Friday, hey, lightning strikes out in front of the plant where I work and run in on my car and burnt the computer up in my car. Now, you know, now you see, that in this world, you're going to have trouble. Huh? And you know what that trouble is going to do? It's going to attack your flesh and your flesh. And if you ain't careful, hey, you'll be mully grubbing. You'll be down. You'll be discouraged. You'll be disappointed. Hey, if you don't set your sights on something higher than what you got in this world, you won't be worth 2 cents. And the devil is going to fight us. You make up your mind that you're going to, Lord, and you start crying out to God and said, Lord, help me to beat this flesh down. Lord, help me to crucify this flesh. Lord, have your will and way in my life. Lord, fill my mind with the Word of God. Put some, because that's where you're going to get the faith to do the work of God. You're going to have to get in that book and believe it. And when you start believing it, you'll start doing it. If you're not doing it, you're not believing it. If we're not doing it, we're not believing it. Because the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. And if you ain't sowing to the Spirit, you know what you're sowing to? The flesh. That's just the way it is. You know, I ain't doing either one. Yes, you are. If you're not sowing to the Spirit, you're sowing to the flesh. You're sowing laziness. You're sowing carelessness. I mean, if you're not busy about doing the things that God has told us to do in His book, you're careless. Hey, you're showing unconcern. People are perishing. People are perishing. They're falling off into hell. And if you're not letting this book tell you what to do, ain't got you busy about reaching out to people, you're showing you're careless and unconcerned. We all are. Man, I don't know about you. When I really start thinking about it, I feel lower. Man, I feel, well, a fella used to call it, man, I'm lower than whale manure. You know what I'm saying, huh? I mean, I'm down in the depths at times. When I really look and start comparing myself to this book right here. And we need to understand that, boy, the devil is trying to get us after our flesh, trying to get us discouraged. But God said right here, He said, hey, you can watch, but if I don't build it, if you're not trusting, you're not yielding to me, you're not going to get it done, you're going to be a casualty. Oh, look, come on. Mightiest angel we know of in heaven, Michael, durst not bring a railing accusation against Satan. He said he durst not. And you know what that is? That's for fear that God might turn him loose on him. God can do what he wants, you know what I'm saying? Michael had enough sense. I'm not going to be lifted up in pride. I'm not going the way that Satan went. You know what I'm saying? You know? He said, I will not. Boy, the old devil's trying to get him to, you know what I'm saying? Arguing with him, you know, trying to pick a fight with him. He said, the Lord rebuked me. I ain't going to put my mouth on you. And, you know, we'll do wise not to put our mouth on him either. Because God might just turn him loose on us. You know? So what do we do? Hey, we do what the book says. We study. We pray. We work. You know? We humble ourselves before God. We admit what we are. Needy creatures, unable to do anything apart from the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit what we are. Hey, we're not nothing big. We're just servants. We're the Lord's servants. Amen. Hey, Lord wasn't too big to be a servant. He made himself a servant and he still is a servant. He serves us every day. He's there to meet our needs each and every day. And if the Lord Jesus Christ ain't too good to be a servant, we ought to learn something from Him. Amen. We need to make up our minds. As He has served me, and the Lord said, He said, you know not what I do now. He come in there and He took that basin and washed their feet. And He said, if I serve thee, He said, y'all ought to serve one another. He didn't just serve saved people either. He went out there, and he was out reaching out. What did he come for? He said, I come but to seek and save that which is lost. That's the primary goal. Amen. That's the reason why the church is here. That's the reason why he's left us here. Is to do what? Reach more people. Why? To bring glory to God. Not to bring glory to the church. Not so I can say, I can come here and say, you know, oh, I mean, I know, boy, a lot of them, you know, they just want to notch their gun. Boy, I got me a nothing, you know what I mean? No, you didn't. You didn't get nobody. You didn't save nobody. You didn't die for nobody. You didn't birth them into the family of God. You can't take the Spirit and put, no, what did you do? You went out as a water boy. You know? You went out as a seed sower. You had your seed bucket in one hand, you got your water bucket in the other, and that's what we do. And God will give increase when we're obedient, when we become the servants that we ought to be. Not a field hand. This is not our husbandry. This is not our field. This is not our creation. Hey, we are to yield ourselves unto God, admit what we are, that we might see our needs. And boy, and I'm telling you, you're going to get in the fight, and the devil is going to come against you. Now, we looked at some of the weapons that these enemies is going to bring against us, the desires of the flesh, lack of modesty and pride. Oh, I mean, ignorance, deceit, fear, I mean, lust. And being totally undisciplined, and boy, and that's my flesh. I'm telling you what, it has no discipline whatsoever. It is totally ungodly. Ain't that awful? You got to drag it around with you everywhere you go. Amen? It's totally apart from God, but you got to carry it with you everywhere you go. And that's the reason why we got to be on guard. Hey, it's good to watch. You watch what you do. You go to that mirror, you know, you look in there and you brushing your teeth, trying to get yourself presentable. You know, you need to watch yourself in the mirror of this Word each and every day. So that Word, you hide that, you read that Bible, you keep it ever in your mind. So when you start messing up, that Bible is going to point it out to you. That Bible is going to show you where you're failing. That Bible is going to remind you what you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing. And so you got to hide that Word in you. That is our defense. Now, Psalm 121 again, I'm 127 again. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As heirs are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Hey, you know what he's saying there? Hey, you got the enemies out there, but buddy, hey, you're loaded up. You got your quiver full. You're ready to, you're prepared for war. You know what that means? You've prepared your children for war. You prepared your children for the battle. What did he say? He's talking about having children. That they are heirs in the hands of a mighty man. Hey, is that way we do? Hey, look, any bow hunters in here? We got anybody ever did any bow hunting? I never have either, but I know a lot of people that have. And I'm going to tell you something. You think when they go out there and they want a deer, they just kind of pull it back and just pew, let her go? Huh? They just pull it back, just pew, wherever it goes, that's fine, you know? No. I'll tell you what they do. They take that bow, and they get them arrows, and they practice with them. I mean, they get something, boy, and they get a target, and they work at it. They're shooting at a target. They're working at it. They're preparing. I'm going to tell you something, too, about arrows. Back when I did shoot a little bit of bow when I was young, and some of my other family, you kept them arrows in shape. You prepare. I mean, you looked them, and boy, them. Sometimes they get a little crooked and stuff, you know. Sometimes you had to get rid of a few of them, you know what I mean? They just weren't no good. And that happens. That happens with some of us, you know. But I'm going to tell you what. You look in that verse, these are arrows. These are for the battle. You know, he says right here plainly, he said, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Now, a preacher just did a study here a little while ago. Who's that mighty man? Who was that mighty man? That's the Lord. Huh? As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Are we preparing our children to be arrows in the hands of a mighty man? Boy, that mighty man, he draw that bow back. He's got a target in mind. He's well skilled with the bow. Boy, I read about Jonathan this past week, and Jonathan made it, he made it a practice in Israel that men be well skilled in using the bow. Why? Because he knew that it worked well against the enemy. And I'm going to tell you something. Our young people need to be prepared and to be arrows in the hands of the mighty man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get our children to understand, hey, that you belong to Him. What did it say? Children are a heritage of who? Did it say us? No. You're a heritage of the Lord. They're His. He lent them to us. To do what? To train them. You know the best training they get? When they see us being obedient. When they see us being yielded to God. That's the training. That's the best training they'll get. They see us being faithful to the house of God. And I'm thinking, we got some faithful men here. Praise God for that. But there's some things and areas, just like those churches we looked at, that we have not been faithful in. I'm talking about me. And boy, and if your phone's ringing, go ahead and pick it up and answer it, you know. But don't tell me about it. He'll tell you about it. And then you make the corrections that you need to make. But I mean, but them children, you say, well, my children are already grown. Ain't nothing I can do. Yes, you can. You can pray for them. They can still see you being faithful. They can still, if you made some mistakes along the way, go tell them you made some mistakes. Tell them you did some things wrong with them and you're sorry for it. I told my daughter called me, she said, I want to thank you for being my dad. Well, I told her, I'm sorry, I failed you a lot, but I appreciate that. I said, I wish I'd been a better dad. But I was being honest with her. She knew what I was talking about. She knew where I'd been, some areas I failed. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry for the times I did fail. You know what? I want her to see that I'm willing to admit I made some mistakes and I'm willing to make some changes. That I want to make changes that God wants me to make. So hopefully she'll look at her own self, you know what I'm saying, and where she sees problems, she'll be willing to make changes. Amen? And admit. Confess. Fess up. Man, we got a lot of professing. Yeah, we got a lot of professing. We profess to be all kinds of things. But we need some confession. Huh? And I ain't talking about the Catholic kind of confession. I'm talking about real. I'm talking about getting down to business with God, admitting our failures, admitting our needs, and confessing who He is, our Lord and our Savior, and being willing to be yielded to Him. And He said right here, that boy, that we are to train up these children for they are to be heirs in the hands of a mighty man. And happy is a man who hath his quiver full of them. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. Hey, but would to God that we had said a long time ago to the church had said, you know what, I'm going to have as many young as I can. I'm going to be the pastor of my home. I'm going to have, if I can have a dozen, I'm going to have a dozen. I'm going to train every last one of them. God, to be champions for the Lord Jesus Christ. And send them out in the battle. Prepare them. I'm afraid that most of us were thinking about our pocketbooks. Thinking about our leisure. Thinking about our comfort. More than we was thinking about, hey, bringing children up to the glory of God, that they were His heritage. Man, I often think, I wonder how many Dwight L. Moody's did we say no to? I wonder how many, you know, R.A. Torrey's. I wonder how many Charles Spurgeon's. Hey, I wonder how many of those early fathers. I wonder how many Apostle Paul's. Hey, how many Peter's. How many men of God we say no to for our own comfort, for our own leisure. God said right here that the average quiver, the average quiver would hold at least 10. And some of them will hold as many as 18 arrows. Remember the big families? Where'd they go? Well, you can't. I've heard this time and time again. Well, you can't. I mean, a couple children about all you can afford to have. When did God get broke? When did God get broke? Why would God give you a young'un and then not give you what you need to raise it? We don't believe God. Why would He do that? Why would He give us, you know, 8 or 10 children and not give us what we need to raise them? They're His. He just loaned them to us. To do what? To be heirs in the hands of a mighty man. That's what. Boy. Man. I don't know. I'll get away from this. I don't scare nobody to death. But let's look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. My point is we're supposed to be living for our children, raising them up to be valiant for the Lord, to do a great work for God, to be yielded in His hand, to be heirs, to go forth into the battle. Again, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every child, every young person we raise for God has the ability to go forth and pull down strongholds. Every time that they go out with the Word of God hid in their heart, and they tell men, women, and they see children living godly before a lost and a dying world, it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every person that we have we've helped, we've allowed God to use us to help train, is weapons in God's hands to pull down strongholds. Our young people can reach people that we can't. Hey, we don't need to pray that this is a future church. No, this is the church. If they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they can be used by God right now. David was but a ruddy youth when he went out there and slew Goliath. He was just a youth. Probably even a young teenager. I don't know how old he was. He might have been 15, 16 years old. I don't know. I don't know how old he was. All I know, the Bible said he was a youth. He was young. He was young enough that he was not supposed to be able to go forth to war because he had to be 21. So evidently he wasn't that old, but he came into the camp, wanted to see how the battle was going, you know. And buddy, and all of a sudden he see that giant and he's like, "Man alive, let me loose. He ain't going to talk about my God that way." Amen. He had some boldness about him. Why? Because he had the love of God about him. He'd been spending time with God. And God took that young person. He can take our youth and do the same thing. Don't think he can't. He can. Boy, I mean, we need to pray for our young people that God has loosed them, set them on fire. Look here, as weapons in the hands of a mighty man. And we see that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So our young people, through God, these heirs can be mighty. And us as parents, and man, this is Father's Day. I mean, do we see our responsibility? Can we see our responsibility to train up our young folks? Grandpa, can you see your responsibility about your grandchildren? I got two grandsons now, and I got some granddaughters, a lot of granddaughters, and I want them to serve God more than they do anything else. I want them to find the will of God in their life and serve God. I want them to see Grandpa that he's not lazy, but he's fervent about his service for God. I want to burn up for God and not rust out. Hey, I've made a lot of mistakes down the road. I've failed and fallen every which way. But don't you want to finish well? I'd rather start bad and finish good. Amen. I don't want to start good and finish bad. I don't want to end up like Solomon, for example. Started off well and ended terribly. I don't want that. But we find that happening so many times. People start getting, well, I used to do this and I used to be in this, and but you know, I'm gotten older now. And what's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with anything? Huh? You think old people can't serve God? Look at Caleb in the Bible. He was 80 years old. He said, give me that mountain. I'm going to take it for God, to the glory of God. Amen. He realized he was mighty in who? In God. It wasn't Caleb going to take that mountain. God was going to use him to take that mountain. Why? Because he was yielding. He was willing. You say, but I got bad health. What's that got to do with anything? What has bad health got to do with anything? Man, I get up every morning and it ain't too many things about my body that don't hurt. What am I going to do? I'm just going to quit? The Bible said endure hardness as a good soldier, amen? I've told in this class before about where I read where an Anglican priest could get up on his sick bed and call people on the telephone and tell them about Jesus. What's our excuse, amen? We can do what we can do where we're at, and you can do mighty things through God. I don't care if you're laying in a bed somewhere. Boy, I've heard testimonies of old widow ladies who were sick and bedfast, couldn't even roll over on their own. But she had people come in, and she had her walls covered with preachers and missionaries and stuff, and she spent her day praying for them. I remember Brother Ed Ballou telling about when he was down in Florida one time, and I believe this is exactly the way it happened. I felt God on this. He said, boy, talking about how God was moving and blessing in the church, and the church was growing, and people were being saved, and they were excited about serving God. He said, oh man, we were getting a job done, he said. And he talked about this happening, that happening. He said, boy, we was getting a job done, he said. And boy, he was just rejoicing because they was getting the job done. He said, and one day he came up to the church. He said he pulled into his parking place. It said pastor in that paved parking lot that God had put up because they was getting the job done. And he gets out of his car and he walks in. He goes to open and unlock the door. It was unlocked, and he walked inside and he started to go into the sanctuary. I call it the sanctuary because about right then it was a sanctuary. He started to go in and started to go into the auditorium. He said, and the Spirit of God said, no, you don't. You stop right there. You know why? Because there was a warrior in there. I'll never forget this story. I know it's real. I can feel the power of it. I can feel it right now. He went to go into that door and he said, no, you don't. You stop right there. He said, I could hear. He said, there was a little retarded man that was in there, that was in their congregation. He was in there. He said, he looked through and said he was laying over top of the, he was laying over top of the altar rail down there. He was just laying over it. And he was calling out to God. And he said, I love you. I love you, God. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being my Savior. And he was calling on God. He was loving on God. God smote his heart. He said, you thought y'all were getting the job done. He said, this was the one that was getting the job done. Sometimes the battle ain't what we think it is. God was blessing that man. So that we're without excuse. Our problem is, do we want to love on the Lord? And do we want to love on God so that God can use us? Because that's where it's got to happen. Our hearts have got to be broken about what we are. Who we are before God. Who we are before the people that we say we love. Do we really love them? This man was full of the love of God. He didn't have no, he couldn't talk eloquently. He couldn't go and take the Bible and open it up and show a man. The only thing he could say to him is, oh, he could tell him how Jesus saved him. He saved you too. You ought to listen to him. That's about all he could say. He couldn't read. But he had a relationship with God. That young ruddy David had a relationship with God. He'd be on the backside of them mountains playing that harp. What was he doing? He was loving on God, singing songs to God because he loved him. And God was preparing his heart. Are we preparing the hearts of our children in that way? Can they see our love towards God? I'm not going to have time to get into it. But that's what I'm going to look at. I was going to look at love. What love, this mighty weapon of love and what it can do. I'll just read a few things I got wrote down here about it. I can't go over it. Can't go through it because we're out of time. But we must be ready to defend ourselves. We got to put on this armor of God. We got to be ready to defend our families and our church family, our neighborhood and our country. But you know what it takes to be ready to do that? You got to love it. You got to love your family. You got to love your church. You got to have that love. That's what gets us ready. You look at the power of love in 1 John 3, 1 through 8. The Bible says that the power of love destroys the works of the devil. We're going to read it. The power of love destroys the works of the devil. Hey, love perfects the believer. It gives you what you need. That's what that word perfect means there. It completes you. It gives you what you need. Boy, you can think you're putting that armor on, but if it ain't done in love, you're not going to get nothing done. You will not be perfect before God. Love will perfect the believer. You also look, perfect love casts out fear. Most people can't do anything for God because they're scared to death. Scared what people think of them. Scared what people will say to them. Scared the way they're going to act. Scared what it's going to cost. If I totally sell out to God, what's it going to cost me? Man, God might, you know, if we realize it, that everything that we think belongs to us is not ours, it belongs to God, and we really believe that, it terrifies because God might tell me to sell my house. He might. He might tell me to take it, my bank account and give it to something. And he's going to send me out to do something. I don't know if I want to do that or not. As a fella told me one time, I said, and I was trying to be sincere whether I was or not, but I was still, I know at that moment I was God's spokesman because I said, I want all the children that God wants me to have. And he said, I don't. spell. I said, I don't. And he was serious. He didn't. You know why? He was scared. And perfect love casts out fear. When we get the love of God about us, we don't have to be concerned about all the cares of this world, the things that we care for. We can let them go because the love of God constrains us. Notice this. Not only it perfects the believer, cast out fear, it'll make us bold. If you love people, you'll be bold. People will tell you, well, I tell you what, them Christians, man, they just hate everything. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. This is wrong, that's bad, that's all. No, everything in Christ is yea. Everything. Do you know that? Do you know that? In Christ, everything is yea. Yes. When you're walking in Christ, everything is yes. You can have all the love you want. You have all the joy you want. Have all the praise you want. Huh? Have all the boldness you want. Huh? Have all the faith you want. It's all yay. Where's the nay? The nay's in this world. The nay's in this world. You in the flesh. In the devil. So, is that what we want? The world, flesh, and the devil? We want the yea. Huh? In the Lord, it says right here. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? I mean, see, you don't understand, people. He said, we're not your enemy. We're your friend. Now, you tell me who loves you. You take an old fella, he want to attack the church. You tell him, who loves you? The one that says, whoa, careful. That there is a rattlesnake. That thing will hurt you, maybe kill you. You don't want to mess with that. Huh? Leave that alone. Or the fella says, oh, that's okay. You want to play with a rattlesnake? It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Huh? You got a right to do whatever you want to do. So go ahead. Play with that rattlesnake. Well, that sounds like some advice of the devil, doesn't it? That's what this world is doing, isn't it? And you let God give you some practical ammunition and don't you fear. You go out before this world and you tell them boldly, no, you're wrong. I love you. I told a fella this past week, look, this thing about the homosexuals, this thing's running wild, is it not? Now look at the confusion. The Bible says that it's confusion. Look over in Leviticus, it's confusion. And now people don't even know what race they are. They don't know what gender they are. They're totally confused about everything. Get your Bible, arm yourself with the Word of God, and go out boldly in love, reaching out to every soul you come across. Fellow tells you, well, I'm a devil worshiper. Said, well, I love you. Well, I hate you. That's okay. I'm still going to love you. That's I'm going to tell you something else. God loves you too. And this devil you say that you worship, he's come but for one reason, to kill you and destroy you. That's what he's here for. And you let God do the rest. The power of the Word of God, the power of the truth, the power of God in you. He's the mighty man. Oh, our children ain't the only ones that can be heirs. Let God, you be an heir in God's hand. Let him shoot you. Hey, the thing about the heir, it don't choose where it's going. The archer does. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's that mighty man. Be an heir for God this week. I would encourage you, we're going to go out this Thursday night. If there's any way, I want to encourage you men to be here. We're going to try to build up our Sunday school some. We're going to go out and invite people, love on people, try to reach people with the gospel. Why? because God asked us to. Brother John, would you pray for us? Dismiss us.